Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Well, glory to God. Had an exciting morning this morning. And our little guy Mozzie had to go to the vet. And he looks like he has a tennis ball in his mouth, but he does not have a tennis ball in his mouth. So anyway, he's there. I just left him there, and they're going to, if you're wondering who Mozzie is, he's four-legged, and our dog. But he's super important to us, right? And so anyway, be in agreement with us that our vet bill is small, and Mozzie is healed, healthy, and whole in Jesus' name, amen. Right? And God cares about our things. The Bible says that God perfects those things which concern us, and so God will perfect him, make him good, and it'll all be all right. But it was kind of eventful. You know, it's always fun getting dogs into the car, because as soon as you're taking anybody out of the house, all of them get super excited thinking there's a trip to Dunkin' Donuts coming, you know? And so you have to get the three that aren't going into the room, but they know that something's up. And so they don't want to go into the room. They want to go where you're going. And so I finally got Mozzie in the car, and I went back in the house to let all the trap dogs out. And then our big dog Rigsby is just determined to get out the door, and so he runs out the door. Anyway, long story short, I end up locking Mozzie in the car with my phone, with my keys. Thank God for OnStar. I know I say that all the time, but I pay $30 a month for that. It has paid for itself over and over and over again, because for some reason I have locked my keys. If you don't know what that is, you just call them. I didn't have my phone. My neighbor was home. I went over and was like, can I use your phone? I locked the dog in the car. He's like, what? And so he loads me his phone. And so I go out, you call, and they send a signal. It's very Big Brother. They send a signal to your car, and it unlocks your car. It's amazing. It's amazing. It is worth every single penny that I have. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like, should we cancel this? Never. 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 But anyway, it's just a great thing. So Mozzie's over at the vet, and I'm sure he's going to be fine. And Rigsby is relieved. Well, he's really sitting at home pouting because I had to drag him out of the car and put him back into the house. And so he's very upset. So, everybody just pray for Rigsby. No, I'm just kidding. All right, here we go. We're talking about love these last few weeks, and it's important, and I've been saying it every week, because this is what the Holy Ghost has said is our word for this time that we're in is love. Because the thing that's going to cause you more troubles in life is your love walk being all out of whack. And last week I reminded everybody, with Pastor Mark, who started this church, and I'm a product of him. I know many of us in here are. And one of the things, whenever anything was going on in your life, his very first question always was, how's your love walk? And none of us really ever wanted to hear that, because usually at that time, our love walk probably wasn't where it needed to be, or we just didn't want to think about that. But he would always say, how's your love walk? Because he knew that everything is all about love. We've learned these last few weeks that the Bible tells us the most important thing is love. When they asked Jesus, they said, can you sum up the whole Bible? Can you just say, what's the most important thing? What did he say? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. We've learned over here in 1 Corinthians, you want to turn there to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is the love chapter. It's famous. You see it on greeting cards. You see it all over the place. But like Pastor Devon said, it's not enough to see something or have something sitting in a book somewhere. It has to be applied. It has to be put into practice. And so the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 1, and it goes on to say that really you can have all kinds of stuff, but if you don't have love, none of it's going to matter. And it says here in verse number 1, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though and mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, listen to this. The Bible says, I am nothing. You know, it's always so important. It doesn't matter how super spiritual you are. If you're not walking in love, if love is not an active part of your life, it's not a choice that you make, if it's not something you put on, the Bible says that you are nothing. So you can know all the books in the Bible. You can have all kinds of scripture memorized. You can be the person that's moving mountains with your faith, you know, but if the Bible says if you don't have love, it really doesn't matter. Because without love, nothing else matters. The Bible says that God doesn't just love us. He is love. The Bible says God is love. It's not just something he does. It's who and what he is. And so when we talk about love, and you know, a lot, I said this last week, a lot of times we're like, oh, you know, I want a message on, you know, 10 ways to increase my finances, or I want a message on, you know, how to be a success at work, or all these kind of things. But none of those messages work. You can have all that knowledge and all that information, but none of it is going to work unless you've got love in your life. Because love is the foundation. The Bible says my faith works by love. I've got to have it. It's like gas for my car. Without gas in my car, doesn't matter how pretty it is, doesn't matter how shiny it is, doesn't matter how new it is, doesn't matter how fast it is, doesn't matter how nice the interior is. Without gas in your car, it's nothing. It's just a giant doorstop. It's nothing. It's not taking you anywhere. It's not doing anything for you. You've got to have love. And so it says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And so it tells us in the first three verses how important love is. And then in verse number four, it starts talking about how love acts, what love does. And it says, love suffers long and is kind. Your Bible says, may love is patient. Love does not envy. You know, let me just tell you what envy is. A lot of people have a misunderstanding of envy, and hopefully we're going to preach about it. Because I tell you, envy gets people in more trouble than anything else. Envy is not rejoicing when someone else gets blessed. Envy is comparing yourself to other people all the time. Envy is wanting what other people have. You know, the very first murder, and really the Bible tells us that all sin ultimately is in envy. The very first murder was because of envy. And so envy is a strong, strong thing. And so we need to be careful that we're not letting it in our lives. Envy causes strife. And the Bible says where there is strife, there is every evil work. Not just some, not just a couple, every evil work, the Bible says. And so we'll talk about that in the next few weeks. It says, love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek his own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It says, it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. The Bible tells us that love never, say it with me, never, never, never fails. Amen. It never fails. Amen? And so, you know, these last few weeks we've been talking about love and the different kinds of how love acts and how love is the most important factor in our life. Last week we talked about that love is patient. Love has a long fuse. Anybody get in the longest line this week and make yourself wait? Anybody? You know, it's good for you. It's good for you to just make yourself wait sometimes. It's telling your flesh, you don't get your way, I say what happens here, not you. Amen? And so love is patient, and we've looked at different aspects of love, but today we're going to look at what I think is the ultimate test of love. This is probably the hardest part of love. It's the hardest thing, but it's the most important thing. And it really trips us up the most. I think a lot of people have some misunderstandings of what this part we're going to talk about today is. And so because you have misunderstanding about it, you don't do it. And then you don't do it. And then because you haven't done it, you've got some stuff brewing and growing. It's like mold. You let it go, it brews and it grows. And next thing you know, it's affecting every part of your life. So today we're going to talk about love is forgiving. Love is forgiving. Woohoo! And so we've got to ask ourselves, the ultimate test of love is when somebody hurts you, how do you respond? That's the ultimate test. Do you have a grudge? Do you get resentful? Do you get full of bitterness? How do you handle it when somebody hurts you? And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:5, it says it like this out of the Living Bible. It says, love doesn't keep a record of a wrong that others do. Love doesn't keep a record of a wrong that others do. In other words, love doesn't store up hurts. Love doesn't keep a grudge, doesn't keep score. There was a guy, and he said this. He said, my wife and I get in an argument. When my wife and I get into an argument, she gets historical. The other guy said, don't you mean hysterical? He goes, no, historical. She tells me everything I've ever done wrong. And you know what? That's what we do sometimes, because we want to hold on to stuff so that when that person hurts us again, we're going to have ammunition. Somebody say ammunition. We want to be locked and loaded, ready to go, so when that person hurts us again, we can be like, and you did this, and you did this, and you did this, and you know, and we're just like, you know, just shooting it out there thinking, oh, I'm getting you. But you know what? Really, you're just getting yourself. It's not working out for you. And so, you know, when we're talking about keeping a record, we've got to realize that the Bible says love doesn't do that. And God doesn't do that. God doesn't keep a record of our wrong. Aren't you glad about that? Oh, thank you, Jesus. There's not enough room up there. Amen? You know, but forgiveness may be one of the single most difficult acts of love above all the others we've talked about, because it's so difficult because it involves hurt. It involves pain. It involves an injustice. It involves our feelings, our emotions. And so it gets tough for us. But there's some incorrect thinking about forgiveness. Most people totally misunderstand what true forgiveness is. They don't understand it at all. There's a lot of miscommunications and just really faulty thinking about forgiveness, and it keeps people from forgiving other people. So I'm going to give you a little true or false test. You guys ready? You know, you didn't know you're going to school today, but I'm going to give you, forgiveness gets watered down. It gets called something that it's not. It gets abused. It gets cheapened. And so we want to know exactly what forgiveness is, because the Bible says that love forgives. And we want to be forgiving people. Amen? And so here we go. Ready for a little true or false test? All right. Number one, a person should not be forgiven until they ask for it. False. Oh, you guys are good. Forgiveness includes minimizing the offense and the pain that was caused. Good. Forgiveness includes restoring trust and reuniting a relationship. False. False. We'll get there. If you haven't really forgiven until you've forgotten the offense. False. When I see someone else hurt, then it's my duty to forgive the offender. See somebody else hurt? Somebody else hurt. It's not, you know, you shouldn't have... It says a tricky one. You know, I want to forgive for you. I can't forgive for you. You got to forgive for you. You know, if you say, oh, that's really bad what that person did, I forgive them. That, you know, good for you. Wow. Excellent. Good job. But I'm the one that needs to do it. Amen? And so when we study the Bible, we're going to discover that all these statements are really false. They're false. And we're going to talk about what true forgiveness is. But sometimes, in order to explain to somebody what true forgiveness is, it's really easier because we have so many misconceptions. And I know I've preached this before, and I will preach it again, because I tell you what, this right here is where people get tripped up. This is where we put the brakes on our faith walk, because faith works by love. This is where we open the door for bitterness and anger and resentment to grow and to just develop into a big moldy mess on the inside of us, right here, because we do not understand what forgiveness is. And so, number one thing that it isn't, it is not conditional. Forgiveness is not conditional. In other words, it's not based on somebody else's response. Real forgiveness is unconditional. It's not earned, it's not deserved, it's not bargained for. It's not paid for. It's not based on some promise that you'll never do it again. If you say to someone, I'll forgive you if. That's not forgiveness. That's called a trade. That's a bargain. Or I'll forgive you if is not forgiveness at all. Genuine forgiveness is unconditional. It's unconditional. What if Jesus had said when he prayed on the cross? We all know when Jesus was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. What if he would have said, Father, forgive them if they ask for it? Father, forgive them if they're sorry. Father, forgive them if they promise to never do it again. How many of us have promised to never, ever do something again, and there we find ourselves, we have done it again? I mean, I think we've probably all been there. But Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And sometimes we want to make sure somebody understands why they need my forgiveness. And I want you to see the many wrongs and the many ways that you are wrong before I forgive you. I need you to understand the depth of your ineptness before I can forgive you. And that's just not forgiveness. Forgiveness is unconditional. Forgiveness is given if it's offered, whether it's asked for or not. You know, Jesus has forgiven all of us, whether we ask for it or not.
Amen.
He paid the price for all sin. He said to the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Everybody there wasn't asking forgiveness. So most of them didn't even realize they needed it. They thought what they were doing was right. But yet Jesus forgave them anyway. Forgiveness is not conditional. You start putting conditions on forgiveness, then you're not walking in love. You're walking in a bargain. You're walking in your own understanding. And the Bible tells us that our own understanding leads to trouble. We're to follow the understanding of the Lord. Let Him direct our paths. How many think God has a better way to handle stuff? Amen. He's got a better way. Number two thing that forgiveness is not, it's not minimizing the seriousness of the offense. It's not saying it's not a big deal or it's okay. You know, it didn't really bother me. You know, or if somebody tries to ask forgiveness, you don't say, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. It didn't hurt. That's not forgiveness. You know, we're pushing away and we're trying to minimize something instead of deal with something. You know, there are some things that are huge. And you know what? In this room, there's people in this room, you've been hurt and you've had an injustice that is huge. And maybe the reason you haven't entered into forgiveness is because you say, how can I forgive when this happened? Because this is so big. Forgiveness doesn't say what happened isn't big. Forgiveness doesn't say what happened wasn't a life changer, that it didn't affect you. That's not what forgiveness does. Forgiveness is all about you. It's not about them. Amen? And so, you know, you don't, and sometimes people say, how can I forgive them when this happened? Forgiveness doesn't say it didn't happen, doesn't say it's not a big deal, doesn't say that a lot of healing and help isn't going to need to happen after whatever happened. Forgiveness just says, you know what, I'm going to move on from the hurt and move into the healing. Amen? And then another thing that forgiveness is not, and this is one some of you guys messed up on, it's not returning to a relationship without change. A lot of people misunderstand forgiveness for trust. Those are two very different things.
Amen.
Forgiveness is given. Trust is earned.
Amen.
Trust is earned. And so, you know, when we think about this, and I believe this is one of the most misunderstood aspects about forgiveness. Forgiveness is not the same as restoring a relationship. If somebody repeatedly wrongs you over and over, let's say somebody in your family or at work or a former friend or a former spouse, somebody who repeatedly offends you over and over and over, you're obligated by God to forgive that person over and over, but you are not obligated to trust that person or instantly restore the relationship. The Bible does not tell us to do that.
No.
Does not. And so a lot of people want to say, well, you let me back in. And when you say no, this is what we hear often, right? But you forgave me. You say, you're right, I did forgive you, but I do not trust you.
That's okay.
Or you can say, yes, I forgave you, but there is no space in my life for you anymore. That's okay. That's okay. You know, we know I say this a lot, your nose isn't by your armpit for a reason. They don't go together. They don't make good roommates. Why? That's why God separated them, you know? Aren't you glad your nose isn't like right here? That'd be rough, wouldn't it? That would be rough. And you know what? Sometimes people are noses and sometimes people are armpits. That you don't go together. That's just all there is to it. You just do not, you shouldn't be in close proximity. And that doesn't mean you don't love that person, doesn't mean you don't forgive that person, but it does mean that you recognize that this is not a good situation. Amen. The Bible tells us we're to love everybody. It doesn't say I got to be BFFs with everybody.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. It doesn't say that. And so, you know, forgiveness is not instantly restoring that relationship. There's a difference between trust and forgiveness. It's a different thing. It takes more than forgiveness to build a relationship. It takes trust. And trust is built over time. And you know, but people say, but wait, you forgave me. But you got to go back to that thing and say, trust is earned. Trust, once it is broken, it is rebuilt. Is it possible to rebuild trust? Absolutely. Absolutely it is. But it is a process. And so it's not the same. Those are two totally different things. So forgiveness starts by making a choice. Forgiveness is not conditional. It's not minimizing the offense. It's not saying it's no big deal. And it's not resuming a relationship automatically. Just saying, okay, everything is back to normal because you're forgiven without any change. That is not forgiveness. And let me tell you something. That is why some people, especially in relationships, you continue in a cycle of the same problem over and over again. Because you are misunderstanding that trust and forgiveness are two different things. Two different things. And then that hurt just keeps compounding and compounding and compounding because you keep opening the door over and over again. It's two different things. And so I just want to encourage you about that. And then next thing, forgiveness is not forgetting what happened. You know, one of my favorite scriptures is when Paul says, I forget those things which are behind me and I press on. That is a powerful scripture. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes we misunderstand what that word forget means. It doesn't mean that it never comes to my mind again, because how many have learned? That's impossible. It's impossible. You can't, you know, you can't forget some things that have happened to you. It's with you. Here's what the word forget literally means. In that scripture, it means to neglect. I neglect those things which are behind me. I don't focus on the things which are behind me. But, you know, there are things that have happened in life and hurts and abuses and injustices, and we can't just be like, oh, that never happened. That never happened. It never happened. You're in denial. And denial does not solve anything. Amen. It does not solve a thing. And so many believers misunderstand forgiveness and denial. You want to just pretend it didn't happen. That is not how you deal with stuff. We want to put our head in the sand and say, oh, it didn't happen. I don't want to deal with it. I'm just going to pretend it never happened. That is the Bible never tells us to do that. We deal with stuff. You are strong enough to deal with it. Amen. It's going to take more strength to deal with it, but in the end, you're going to deal with it. You're going to have victory over it. You're going to receive healing from it. You are going to be able to be like Paul and say, I can neglect that because it's no longer such a huge part of my life. But you can't just pretend something didn't happen. You know, a lot of people do that with situations from your childhood. You just want to be like, well, I'm born again now. I'm a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. That is true. But God is a healer. And he wants to heal some stuff that has happened. And if you never open the door to whatever has happened and allow the power of God in, then he can't do anything with it. And then one day you're going to wake up and you're going to realize that a lot of the stuff that's happened and way that you've dealt with stuff and relationships and things like that, you're going to be like, man, why do I keep doing that? Because you got a big door closed to the Lord. And he's wanting to help you with that. But you want to pretend like it's not there. It is there. Believers don't deny stuff. We have the power to face things. David faced Goliath. Amen. Jesus faced the devil and defeated him. Don't pretend stuff's not there. You got the power in you to face it, overcome it, and move on from it. Amen? But you can't move on from stuff if you just got the door closed. Because how many know, no matter how far away you go, that door's still there. Amen. That door is still there. Amen. And whatever behind it is still there. Amen. Amen. You can do it. You can do it. Amen. So let's talk about what forgiveness really is. You guys ready? You know, I want to say that old cliche, I wrote this down. Forgive and forget, right? How many have ever heard that? That's very nice, but it's not possible. It's not possible. Not with the way that we understand forget. It's not even possible. Because you know what? How many have ever been walking in the grocery store and all of a sudden a song comes on and it takes you back to something that's happened. Takes you back maybe to a breakup, a heartache, a painful time. That stuff's still there. But with the power of God, you can just be like, that happened, but I'm healed and I'm moving on. But you know, you can't forgive and forget. You can forgive and have the power of God to move on. Amen? And so here we go. Let's talk about what forgiveness is. Say what it is.
What it is.
What it is, showbiz. Here we go. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. You guys never heard that saying? What it is, showbiz. I hope that doesn't come from somewhere bad and somebody comes and tells me later. I hate when that happens. Sometimes I hear stuff and then I repeat it and somebody's like, you don't know, you know, like, that's from a bad song. I'm like, I never heard the song, I promise. All right, here we go. Romans chapter 12, verse number 19. One of the things that forgiveness is, you guys ready? You ready for this? How many are ready for the power of God to move in your life?
Come on.
Amen. I mean, I'm ready for the power of God to move in my life. If I want the power of God to move in my life, I got to do it God's way.
Amen.
It amazes me, how people want the power of God, how people even walk in the power of God, and then when things start going better, then suddenly they quit doing all the things they were doing that got them to the place they're at. Huh. Yeah. And it's kind of like, and you know what, I'm guilty too, you know, hold the mirror, I can hold the mirror to me too, but I amaze myself at how dumb I am sometimes. Huh. I mean, honestly, it's just like, what am I thinking? If doing the word of God got you out of where you were, why would you stop?
Reach it.
I'll tell you why we stop. We stop because we're lazy.
Amen.
We stop because we're selfish. We stop because now we're healthy and now we got stuff going on. We got other priorities. You know, it's just funny to me. People that are in a financial mess, they start tithing. God gets them out. Next thing you know, they're not tithing anymore. It's like, does that even make sense?
Nope, not at all.
And then in a few weeks, I know it, they'll be back saying, hey, can you help me out? With what? With my finances. And then when I say, are you a tither? Guess who they get mad at? Me. Why would you be mad at me? I'm just telling you what the Word of God says.
Amen.
That's how you got out of the hole. Now that you're out of the hole, you're going to get right back in the hole because you're doing what got you in the hole in the first place. Same thing is true with walking in love. You know, we hear a great message about it. We get all excited. Like, man, I'm going to do this because I need the power of God in my life. We need the power of God. You can't live without it. I mean, you can, but not well. It's too late for you. The enemy already knows your name. Amen. You're not some person, this is for somebody, I just didn't in my notes. You're not some person out in the world that the devil doesn't need to worry about. That he doesn't need to mess with. Because he's got them so blind that they don't even know Jesus exists. You're not that person. You know the truth. You know the truth.
Yeah.
You cannot go back. It's like the Matrix. Once you took the blue pill or the red pill, you can't go back. We took the pill. And we know who Jesus is. We know the power of God. And we know the power of the enemy. And we know his plan. It's too late for you. You can't just start pretending that you're not a child of God. And live like you used to. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. And there's going to be a whole lot of hurts and bruises and bangs until you get your act together. And get back to the things that got you out of the mess you were in the first place. Well, that's not fair. Life is not fair. Life is not fair. Life hurts sometimes. When you walk out of the presence of God, out of the way of God, there are consequences to that. And it's not God doing it. God loves you. God has a plan for you. God has protection and provision and restoration for you. But when you walk away from Him, you limit what He can do. And you are just walking with a giant bullseye on you. And the enemy is just going to kick your butt over and over and over again. Because he is trying to kill you. Time to wise up and say, I gotta be wise. And I gotta do what I know to do. God's not asking you to do something you don't know how to do. God's just asking you to walk with him. Because that's where the power is.
Amen.
And we need the power of God.
Yeah, we do.
You need it. I need it. There is darkness around us. Not to freak you out or scare you. That's not my job. But my job as your pastor is to say, hey, let me speak some truth to you. You want some jokes? I'll tell you some jokes. I mean, I got a lot of jokes, I can tell you. But you know what? A joke can make you laugh, but truth will set you free.
Amen.
Amen?
That's true. Amen.
Truth will set you free.
Come on now.
And there are too many believers who have just gotten so casual with their walk with God. It's so casual. And you know, it's just, you know, you need to listen to the Holy Ghost. That's a word for somebody. I don't know who. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, glory. Let's just stop there for a minute. You know, that's just the Lord. Aren't you glad that you go to a spirit-filled church?
Amen.
Amen. That's the Lord. Too many of us, and I say us. I'm in there too. It's just like I believe the Lord just saying to us, what are you thinking down there? How you think that's going to work? Walking away from the power of God. And you say, well, I'm not walking away from the power of God. When you walk away from the way of God, you walk away from the power of God.
Amen.
Because the power works through his way. God's not looking for perfection. But the Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles that he is searching over the whole earth. And he is looking for those whose hearts are fully committed to him. God's after your heart. And we all know where our heart's at. And so we just might need to do a priority check. Do a feet check. I was reading the other day, I was reading through Proverbs, just sitting reading it actually to someone. And I remember years ago, I got to find the notes to this because I think it was one of my favorite messages I've ever preached. And it was all about where your feet are. Because the Bible tells us a lot when you read Proverbs. It talks a lot about your feet. Your feet going down the wrong path. Your feet in the wrong place. Keep your feet planted in righteousness. Keep your feet planted in good ground. It talks a lot about your feet. Because how many have ever looked down? What do you got with you? Your feet. Where they go, you go. And sometimes anybody looked down and looked and you thought, man, my feet do not belong here. They do not belong here. I am not supposed to be. This is not my place. This is not where I belong. This is not what God has for me. Anybody ever been there? I've been there. But you know what? Those feet, the only way they got there is because you took them there.
Yep.
And so I think we just need to do a feet check. Where are my feet at? The Bible says we're to be planted in the house of God. Planted by the rivers of living water. Planted. That means we're not uprooting ourselves all the time. We're planted. When things get tough, a tree that is planted by the river, it will stay and it will be healthy because its roots have had time to go down and be strong. We know that from hurricanes. The trees where their roots are all on top of the ground, what happens to them? They fall over. Even though they're huge, they fall over. But those trees and their roots are deep into the ground. The storm comes, the wind comes, but they stand. That's you and me. Let's make sure that our feet are planted into the Word of God, the way of God. Because storms are coming. They're just going to get worse. And you don't need to be afraid of that because you're an overcomer. Amen. You're an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror, the Bible says. You're the head and not the tail. But you know what? All that is true when we're with God. We just got to stay with Him. Amen.
Amen.
We got to stay with Him. And I encourage you in here today. I know we didn't get through our message here, but let's make sure that for forgiveness, that we recognize what it's not. And maybe you're in here today and you need to offer forgiveness to someone. You say, well, should I call them? You just need to hear from the Holy Ghost. Sometimes it's just releasing it and saying, I relinquish my right to get even. That's part of forgiveness. I relinquish my right to get even. The Bible says that never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God. Leave that to God. So you got to say, you know what? I'm going to let it go. The Bible says forgiveness is not keeping record of what was wrong. How many of you remember that movie, The Rain Man? Remember that movie? Remember he had a personal injury book and he would write down everything that happened to him, everything that was wrong. He's like, oh, I'm going to write that in my book, you know? And some of us are like that. We're like, oh, you didn't say hello to me today. I'm going to write that down, you know? You know, you hurt my feeling. I'm going to write that down. You know, you need to burn that book.
Burn it.
You know, you need to burn that book and let it go. Because the Bible tells us over in 1 Corinthians 5, again, it says, love does not keep a record of wrongs that others do. Love doesn't keep score. It doesn't keep score. And so, you know, Scott and I, we have a thing in our house that we say we forgive like God forgives. And, you know, you're married almost 20 years. There's times for forgiveness. That's just how it is. That's life. But we forgive like God forgives. And that means we make a commitment. We make a decision that we will never bring up stuff from the past. Because God does, aren't you glad when you go to God, He doesn't say, well, you know, back when you were in sixth grade, you were really a rotten kid. You were mean and a bully. I don't feel like I can really help you out today. Aren't you glad God doesn't do that? Aren't you glad that every time you go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness, He doesn't say, well, here you are again. You again? He doesn't do that. Because when we ask for forgiveness, the Bible says that He casts our sin into the sea. The Bible says it's the sea of forgetfulness. He pushes it aside and neglects it. He no longer pays attention to it. He sees you as if you'd never sinned before.
Amen.
You know, one of the best things you can do in your marriage is give your spouse another chance.
Amen.
Give them a fresh start. Wake up, look at them, and, you know, and just, you've forgiven things, and then the next day, just don't be like, you know, but choose, make a choice and say, I'm gonna look inside. I'm gonna look at you like the day I first married you. I'm gonna remind myself of all the good things about you, and I'm not gonna neglect those other things. That's the power of forgiveness. That's the power of forgiveness. You know why people don't stay married very long anymore? Because they're historical. They want to keep account of everything, every little thing. Listen, nobody can live up to that. Nobody can live up to that. And so you know what? God gives you a fresh chance. You might need to give somebody a fresh chance. Amen? Just start over. Just do a do-over. Let's do a do-over with people. Amen? You need it, so you might as well give it. Right?
Amen.
And then just real quick here before we go. Forgiveness is responding to evil with good. The Bible tells us in Luke 6, 27 and 28, it says, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. You know, it says, do good, bless, and pray for. That's part of forgiveness, is returning good for evil. And here's one way that you can know that you genuinely have forgiven somebody, when you can pray for God to bless them. Amen. And you say, well, I don't want to do that. That, again, see, this is the thing. This is what we got to understand. There is a part of you, there is a part of me that is anti-God. It's called our flesh. That's the truth. There is a part of us that wants to push away from and pull away from the way of God.
Yeah.
Everybody has it. It's called your flesh. And so when the thought of praying for someone who just cursed you out or called your names or gave you a hard time or has wronged you, when the thought of praying for them, you're like, that just doesn't make any sense at all. I'm not looking to make sense. I'm looking for the power of God in my life. And sometimes it doesn't make sense. It didn't make sense for them to pour water into buckets when they needed wine. It didn't make sense for them to stick a stick in the water because it was bitter. It didn't make sense for them to look for water to come out of a rock. It didn't make sense for them to look to the sky for birds to fall down and be manna, or whatever it was, manna from heaven. It didn't make sense for Jesus to call out to Lazarus when he had been dead for 3 days. It didn't make sense. A lot of stuff doesn't make sense that God asks us to do. It's called faith and obedience.
Come on now.
And so when he says to pray for those who have hurt you, there's power in that. Because you know what happens? It begins to soften your heart. It begins to push you into love when your flesh is trying to hold you back and be bitter and have a grudge. It pushes you into the things of God. One of the best things you can do, you know, and I have a friend, and for forgiveness, this is what they do. They buy the person something, and they pray for them. You know, I mean, even if it's like, you know, just, they do it because it's an act. The Bible says to put on love. The love is a choice. Love is a decision. Love is an action. It's more than just talking. It's doing. It's doing. And so, you know, you really want to forgive somebody. You want to get love working in your life. Start praying for people that's hurt you. And then the last thing, I read this last night, I just want to, we know we got to repeat it as often as necessary. I read this last night, it was so good. Power of forgiveness. It's so true that the more you focus on an offender, the more you actually move towards them. That's just a fact. Any psychology book will tell you that if you're looking like, oh, I want to think about it. Well, think about that. Any psychology book will tell you what you focus on, you move towards, right? And here's the point. If you don't release people through forgiveness, you end up resembling them. How many times have we heard people say, I will never be like my, you can say mother, father, whatever. I will never. Oh, yeah? The more you focus on the very person who hurt you, the more you become like them. That's why abusers become abusers. That's why children of alcoholics many times become alcoholics. When they swore that would never happen, I will never be like them. But the more you focus on something, the more you move forward, you move towards it. If we don't release this through forgiveness, we will resemble it. Bitter, I've seen it recently. Somebody can be so filled with the love of God, and a hurt and an offense come in, and the walls go up, and the next thing you know, that person is as hard as a rock. Somebody that used to be kind and loving now is mean and hateful. Just rude. Say, what happened? That offense got so big that that's all, it consumed them. And it changed them. There is power in forgiveness. Is it hard? Yes. Is it worth it? Absolutely. The Bible says love forgives. So how do I do it when it hurts so bad? You just do it. You release it. You say, Lord, I release this wrong. I release this person. I relinquish my right to get even with them. I choose to pray for them, to bless them. I make that choice. And when the feelings of unforgiveness and hatred and bitterness come back, I will repeat as often as necessary. I will remind myself that I am not my feelings. that by my spirit, I have forgiven that person. These feelings of anger may come, but I choose not to act on them. I choose not to walk in them. I choose to walk in forgiveness. If it means I need to separate myself from that nose because I'm an armpit, I will do that. Because forgiveness is more important to me. Love is more important to me than anything else. And one of the best things you can do is just begin to pray for that person. It will soften your heart. It will allow the power of God to work through you. Next thing you know, you're going to remember that situation and you'll have peace. And that is when you've had victory. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're so good. You're so merciful. Lord, we forgive because you forgave us. You are the great example of forgiveness. Lord, the Bible says that you took our sins and that you canceled them out and nailed them to the cross, never to be remembered. And so, Lord, you have set a great example of forgiveness. And Father, I just pray for anyone here today that has something that they need to forgive, that they need to release, need to let go. Because, Lord, we know that we need the power of God in our life. We need the power of love in our life. Because your word says that love never fails. Lord, help each one of us to always be on the side of reconciliation. Always on the side of love and forgiveness. So, Holy Spirit, I ask you to just help anyone here that's struggling in this area, that needs help. Speak to them. Fill their mouth with the right words to say. And let this be the day that they release whatever is holding them. Thank you, Jesus. Just take a minute where you are. Search your heart. See if there's anything you need to take care of. Let the day be the day that you get rid of that record book. That you stop bringing it up at every family event. That you stop just bringing up the past. Let today be a new day. Let today be a day that you release whatever it is. You say, well, they keep doing it. Well, you can't help that. But what you can help is how you respond to it. Quit letting it be a trigger to take you down a road you know you don't want to go down. Let's let some stuff go. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. With nobody looking around, just out of respect for people, we want to make sure that, first and foremost, we've all received the ultimate forgiveness, the forgiveness from God for ourselves. You know, the Bible says when we say yes to the Lord, we receive the free gift of salvation, that everything in our life changes. We're forgiven, we're restored, we are rescued, and on our way to heaven. So if you're here today without looking around, just quickly, you say, I've never received the free gift of Jesus, but today I want to receive the gift that he gave me when he died on the cross for my sin. I want to receive forgiveness, the power of God in my life, and I want to know that I know that I'm on my way to heaven to spend eternity with God the Father. It's a gift. You don't earn it. You don't change for it. You don't have to do anything except reach out and say, yes, Lord. Yes. I receive you. So if you're here today with nobody looking around and that's you, you say, I want that gift. I want the gift of Jesus. Just raise your hand up big and tall and say, Peggy, that's me. I want the gift of Jesus. Anybody like that? Oh, hallelujah. I believe we're all on our way to heaven. And Father, I pray for each person here that you would help each one of us. Lord, if we need to move some stuff around to put you first, help us do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.